Full disclaimer first, I'm used to speaking to kids Toby's age and Jonathan Larry's age, so bear with me. Tonight is not a new sermon. I actually gave this sermon in Auburn a couple of weeks ago, so for those who were there, it'll be a revision. But if you've come here for the first time, I'm glad that you're here, and we pray for a special blessing on the word tonight. But before we move on, let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time we can come together under the ministry of the word, and we pray that you would remove all distractions from us and calm any nerves tonight, and that your word would preach unhindered and work in our hearts in whatever things that you would have us to work on. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. In this day and age, there's not a lot of things that are going well at the moment. We just hear of news overseas, news at home, perhaps in your family. There are many things that cause discouragement. Could be loss of a loved one, could be small things that become big things. Or it could be something that you could be in a state where you're sailing the doldrums. Now that's I learned that from Mr. Lees's geography class. Doldrums is a part of the earth where there's not a lot of wind, so you're not moving anywhere. So for us, it's kind of like we're just meh. We're not even neither up or down. We're just somewhere in the middle. But going back to the whole discouragement thing, it's not an uncommon human experience. Who's been discouraged before? Who knows someone who's been discouraged? So it's not something that's entirely new to us. You know, young and old, we've gone through something similar in different contexts of our lives. As Christians, you know, being an encouragement is one of those things that God has commanded us to do. You know, he says in John 16, you're going to face some tough times, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. You know, I just read that this morning, and I was like, wow, you know what? There's really no reason to worry. You know, when we worry, we focus on ourselves, whereas we should be focusing on God. But tonight we're going to look at on how we can be an encouragement to others from Barnabas' examples, from the writings of Paul, and from Luke as well, from the book of Acts. So firstly, let's have a look on Barnabas himself. Turn with me to Acts chapter 4, if you keep a bookmark there. We'll be jumping around a bit. But Acts chapter 4 is where we're going to begin. So a bit of context. The early church has just started. The church was in its infancy. But at the same time, you know, the persecution is also growing. You have the religious zealots who are making life hard for these early Christians. But at the same time, you've got the government as well making life hard for these Christians. So, you know, it's one thing to be attacked from this angle, but also people you think will protect you. You know, there is too much pressure. And the persecution was really, really bad at this time. And after much prayer, we read about the persecution in Acts chapter 4, 1 to 22. And from verse 23, you know, they asked the Lord for help, you know, please provide our needs. You know, we're not in a good place, but we know, God, that you are in control. Please provide for us. And we see the answer to prayer from verse 32 from our Bible reading this evening. And this is where Luke, Pastor Jeff, I got that right this time. This is where Luke introduces us to Barnabas for the first time. Have a look at verse 36. And Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite, and of the country of Cyprus. Now, it's interesting here that Luke would add the interpretation of that name. Now, it's not for the sake of trivia. Hey, by the way, his name is the son of consolation. No, he put that for a reason. If you have a look in your dictionary, if you have one handy, not now, the definition of the word consolation means the comfort received by a person after a loss or disappointment. We can also use the word encouragement here to the same effect. Now, as I said before, Luke didn't add that just because. He added because it was true. He was indeed the son of consolation. He was the son of encouragement. So tonight, we're going to have a look at three examples of how we can be an encourager like Barnabas. So the first one will be by example, with words, and with our presence. So going forward to verse 37, we read about Barnabas, and we know that he owned land. Now, I'm not sure if Barnabas was a rich man. It doesn't say that, but he did own land. Perhaps that was, you know, a status that I'm not sure if he was loaded, but he didn't lack. And seeing the plight of the early Christians, he was led by God to sell that land. And he gave all the proceeds of that land to the apostles. Now, have a look at verse 37. Having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. Does the verse say laid some of it? No, it doesn't. Does it say laid most of it? No, it doesn't. It doesn't say laid all, but he laid it. Nothing more, nothing less. And to me, you know, that's everything. Now, I'm not sure what the property market's like in the Mediterranean back in the early century, but I think that would have fetched quite a sum. So imagine having a land. I mean, let's put it in current context. Median house prices here in Sydney, I won't say how much, but it's pretty expensive right now. But selling that land and giving everything to the church, in our minds, that would be unthinkable. Why would you do it? But Barnabas saw the plight of the early Christians, and he wanted to do something about it. And he sacrificed his own land so that the Christians around that time would have money for whatever they needed. Imagine, I guess nowadays, you know, if you had a car issue and bills are piling up and debts are going up, you know, and somebody, a complete stranger or someone that you knew, you know, just gives you that sum of money, how would you feel? Man, what an encouragement. And they don't even ask for anything in return. You know, that's an example that Barnabas was to these early Christians. Here's another example. Turn with me to Acts chapter 1. Oh, not Acts chapter 1, Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, reading verse 12, and this is the Apostle Paul writing, that is, that I may be comforted together, there's that word again, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me. Now, in this verse, Paul writes that, you know, by living the active Christian faith, that he would be an encouragement to others and they would be an encouragement to him. You've probably heard of this saying, you know, iron sharpeneth iron. Okay, and that's how about us? You know, if you live the active Christian life, it's more than just a name. It's more than just a label. You know, it's a way of life. And I can see, you know, there's a young man in the church. I see him growing in the Lord, and to me, that's an encouragement. And I've told him that. And, you know, he's a fine example of how, you know, a young Christian man should live. You're putting God first. Putting God first. Another example would be, you know, the rope. Is a rope made up of one strand? No. If you cut a rope, you'll see the individual strands of that rope. And together, it's a very strong rope. And that's how the Christian life should be. You know, we should be sharpening each other. We should be strengthening one another. So that's living by encouragement, by example. Number two, encouragement with words. Turn back to the book of Acts. This time to chapter 14. I hope your fingers are warm. We'll be jumping around a bit. So a little bit further down from chapter 4 to chapter 14, you know, the church is growing. But do you think the persecution is leveled out? No, it's going up. It's growing with the spread of the gospel. So it's getting harder. It's getting harder. And it was a difficult time for the Christians. And Paul and Barnabas, you know, they got imprisoned. They got beaten up. They got stoned. So it's not a very good time for them. We pick up the reading from verse 22. Confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. Now, in this verse, you know, Luke writes, you're going to face some tough times. But the key words here in this verse to me is continue in the faith. You've probably seen, you know, the Tour de France, the Giro d'Italia, and the cyclists, they're climbing up the mountain stages. And who do you see at the side of the road? Is it empty? No, it's not. You've got the spectators. You know, they're screaming, yelling, encouragement. Sometimes they get in the way, but it's another story. But, you know, it's one of those things that, you know, as a rider, you would get a second wind from that. It could be a 100-kilometer climb for all I know, but they make it. They make it. It's through that encouragement. And as, you know, you might be going through a situation right now, but to that I say, you know, to that the Bible says, continue in the faith, because we know how the story ends. There will come a day when we'll share, you know, we will enter into the kingdom of God. Along the same lines, you know, our words and speech is a great source of encouragement. Have a look at Acts 15. Next chapter over. Acts 15, the 30-32. And so when they dismissed, they came to Antioch, and when they had gathered the multitude together, they delivered the epistle, that's the letter, which when they had read, they rejoiced for the consolation. There's that word again. They rejoiced for the encouragement. They were encouraged by this letter to them. And Judas and Silas, being prophets, also themselves exhorted the brethren with many words and confirmed them. See the theme. You know, these churches were growing. We read of the religious zealots and the government making it hard for them. And these missionaries are doing the rounds, encouraging one another. Encouraging one another with words. You know, so don't underestimate the power of your words. Whether you speak one language or two, whether it's English, Spanish, Welsh, Gaelic, I don't know. Don't underestimate the power of your words. It's so easy to bring someone down with our words, but it's a greater blessing to uplift someone. 1 Corinthians 14. You know, believe it or not, the men who have stood behind this pulpit, you know, they're encouragers too. The pulpit's not just for edification, you know, it's not just for rebuke, but it's also for encouragement as well. So 1 Corinthians 14, I should turn there too. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 3. But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification and exhortation, there's that word, and comfort, there's that word again. You know, that we're not just here to, you know, to teach, to tell you off for one thing or another. You know, we're here to encourage, and that's what it should be between Christians, encouraging one another. It's all about building each other up. The next one, you know, the Word of God is full of promises. Now, I had a sheet of paper with me, but it's gone now. But we know that the Word of God has a lot of promises. You know, God promised that He will send a Savior. God promised that the Savior will rise again. And even now, you know, when you've had a rough day, there is a promise. When you think you can't make ends meet, there is a promise. When you think that nobody understands you, there is a promise. God understands you. You know, for every situation that we find ourselves in, there is a promise in the Word of God for us. And the one that stands out is in 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We're going to look at the end first, and then we're going to go in the middle. Verse 18. Wherefore comfort, there's that word again. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. What are those words? Let's go back to verse 13. And I think many of you would be familiar with this passage, but it would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if you believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And here it is. Then we which are alive and remain. This was written in the first century, but does this apply to us right now? Praise the Lord, it does. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. It doesn't matter what we're going through, how terrible the situation could be. Who's in control? God's in control. And this is how the story ends. And that to us should be a source of great encouragement. And we just have to get through it. Don't stop. Continue in the faith, because one day the Lord himself will return and we will go to heaven. There will be hardships for us while we are here, but if you are saved, you know how the story will end. Lastly, we can encourage each other with presents. We see an example of this in Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. We're picking up from verse 21. But that ye also may know my affairs and how I do. Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that you might know our affairs and that he might comfort your hearts. There's that word again, comfort. Okay. So who here loves to hear good news? About 90% of news these days is just terrible. Terrible. But it's the way it is. We live in a sin-cursed world. Systems are breaking down. People are becoming lovers of their own selves. And it's me, 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 me. And see what happens. But when we hear good news, it kind of gives us a second wind. Hey, that's great. That's great. And when we hear of how God has been working in people's lives, when I hear of Pastor Samir doing work in Syria, of all places, they're stuck in a civil war right now. And yet his ministry continues, despite all that, seeing those photos over there, it's like, we have it so much better here, but he's getting the work done over there. And that should be, on one hand, an encouragement to us, but also a rebuke to us. What are we doing? How can we be an encouragement to others? So, in this case, in this passage here, Paul sends Tychicus, just to go to the church of Ephesus, tell them what's going on. There's so many things happening. It's the equivalent of reading a missionary bulletin or a prayer letter from a missionary. Hey, this is what's happening. Please pray for us. So many things happening. We've got our challenges, but we know that God's in control. And with your support and with your prayer, we can get the work done. And this is what's going on in this final chapter of Ephesians. And lastly, you can encourage one another with your presence. With your presence. Turn to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. With that question, coming to church tonight, coming to church this morning, do you feel a little bit strengthened? Do you feel revitalized, ready for the upcoming week? When you leave those doors tonight, you feel like you're ready to take on the world. And that's what That's what worship does. Collective worship. You know, in times of hardship, there's a temptation for us to withdraw. I've done that. I've been there. You know, it's like, oh, nobody understands. Nobody wants to listen. That's just one of the lies that the devil puts in your mind. You know, you don't need these people. You can work it out yourselves. No, it's totally untrue. There's support here. God didn't design us to be little solitary islands. We could be islands sometimes, but hey, let's be a group of islands. Let's be an archipelago, as it were. All right, the Philippines has, 7,000 islands in it. Okay, each one of them unique. Okay, so even this church family, how many languages represented in this building alone? So when it comes to hardships, you know, the last thing you want to do is to take a step back. Take a step forward. Reach out. And if you know someone who's struggling for whatever reason, don't wait for them to come to you. Sometimes they don't have the energy. I read this off a friend's social media post a couple of weeks ago. You know, someone's struggling with depression. They don't have the energy to go out, to reach out for help. As Christians, it's our job to make sure that these people are okay. I heard this in a radio a few weeks ago. May the 8th. Who's heard of MATES? Okay, it's a date set aside. I'm not sure the organization behind it, but it's designed to, you know, it's a day reserved so people can reach out to someone they haven't reached out in a while. MATES. May the 8th. Okay, maybe we should be doing something like that. Reach out to someone. Hey, how are you doing? Is there anything I can do for you? Is there anything I can pray for you for? So it's those little small acts of encouragement that will go a long way. You know, even in this current social context, you know, being a Christian is an unpopular thing. But remember, you know, Christ's return is coming. You know, we go back to that verse, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. And believers will be persecuted, will be ostracized, and it will be despised. But which side will be seen? Where will we be when that day comes? We'll be on God's winning side. Until then, continue in the faith. Continue in the faith. There is a need for steadfastness. If you can't be strong for yourself, be strong for someone. And in turn, they'll be strong for you. That's what it's all about. So, to close up, now, how can we encourage one another in the faith? We can do that with three things. There are many other things we can talk about tonight, but let's focus on these three. We can encourage each other with a good example of godly living. Iron sharpeneth iron. Encourage each other with words. Never underestimate the power of your words. And lastly, encourage each other with our presence. Go to them. Come to church. Get them to come to church. You know, presence in worship and in the church. So I will leave you with this last question. Are you an encourager? Amen. Let's pray. Father, we're thankful for this example by Barnabas. And we live in a time where many things, you know, cause us great discouragement, even of recent times. But we know, Father, that you are in control. And help us, grant us the spirit of encouragement, that we may be able to build one another in your name, and that we may continue the work that you've set us out to do. And Father, we pray as we leave tonight, bring us home safely, and prepare our hearts to whatever you have for us in the coming week. And may there be an opportunity to encourage someone. Could be a friend, could be a stranger. But Father, we pray that we would have in this church, you know, a spirit of encouragement. We commit this time to you now in Jesus' name. Amen. Hymn number 601. How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say than to you he hath said, to you who for refuge to Jesus have fled? Having a look at the second verse. No, fear not, I am with thee, or be not dismayed. Looking at the third verse. When through fiery trials thy pathway shall lie, for I am thy God and will still give thee aid. And in the fourth verse, the soul that on Jesus hath leaned for repose, I will not desert to his foes. That soul, though all hell should endeavor to shake, I'll never, no, never, no, never forsake. After the introduction, we'll stand and sing all four verses, 601. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.